starting the hour by talking sports. Big news coming down from the NCAA earlier today. New rules announced for the world of college basketball. Among other things, players will be allowed to have agents who are registered with the NCAA. Players will be allowed to go through the entire NBA draft and then return to college if they're not drafted. A couple of other significant rules as well. For the rules that are still on the books, though, the NCAA is also planning on imposing longer bans and stronger penalties for teams and coaches and programs that break the rules as well. Significant news coming down from the NCAA today. And we begin the hour by talking about that as we talk sports with Dr. Debbie Strowman, who joins us now on the phone on a pretty significant day for the world of college basketball. Debbie, good to be with you today.
It is good to be here, certainly. This is major news. There's a lot to uncover and unpack, and over time, as you hear more sports personalities, insiders, administrators making comments, we'll really see where this, which way the pendulum has swung. But definitely just a few things to point out. Number one, this is about basketball. And many people feel that AAU has really taken over and it's gone wayward. So it's designed to clean up basketball, in particular men's basketball. And then, of course, when you have those big cases like Louisville and Coach Rick Pitino, there are people who feel that the corruption is out of control. And so the coaches, you know, making millions and millions of dollars, that they've lost power. And so this is maybe the pushback from the academic side or the administrators to try and rein in college basketball.
That actually is a good kind of first point, is that this does focus on college basketball specifically. And usually whenever we talk about big time college sports and the role and kind of the insidiousness of money and corruption in college sports, we always kind of lump men's basketball and football together. But this is basketball specific. Is that kind of a correct approach to kind of single out men's basketball here? Or are we kind of leaving something off to the side by not doing anything to address football?
I think it is very strategic. This has been building over the past 10 years. Way back when I played high school, college, 70s, 80s, and then being more an administrator and I guess you could say informal part of men's and women's basketball through media, we've definitely seen that the power has swung to these AAU programs, and they're like franchises. And really, you point your fingers at the corporations, in particular, the companies that control the shoes and the apparel. So we're talking Nike, Adidas, Under Armour. They're basically throwing, and I won't even say hundreds or thousands, they're throwing millions of dollars at the AAU system. And now they've purchased teams. And now your players are supposed to finding their joy, getting all their development through the middle schools, through the high school programs, and maybe a YMCA or something. Now it's all about which team are you on in terms of AAU. And so these teams work the young people out during the fall, during the winter. Competition starts in the late spring. It goes through summer, and it's almost a full all-year-round sport. And it's very expensive. And so these corporations will pay particular franchises thousands of dollars to outfit them, to travel, to whether it's a plane ticket, you know, out of the country. There's a lot going on in this underbelly of basketball, men's basketball. And so the NCAA and the coaches are saying we have to get this under control. And one of the key things is these agents. So now elite athletes can have reps. Now, this could be a boom or a bust for the NCAA. We'll see how it plays out. But, you know, allowing the athletes to be more upfront in terms of their engagement with the agents, the NCAA feels at this time that that's a good thing.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Strowman, I mentioned the new agent rule, mentioned what players can do in terms of the NBA draft, but I didn't mention up top the new rules regarding those summer leagues that you were mentioning. So what are some of the other kind of significant provisions that are coming down here?
Well, there are a number of things. More chances to visit colleges during and after high school. So I would say this is a look before you buy policy. They're actually being more transparent in the sense that young people can have more engagement with universities. And hopefully this is a good thing, because not only are you getting to know the coaches and the particular program and how it operates the culture, but you're spending more time finding out about the academics and what is available. Basketball student athletes, they can make more frequent campus visits, which are actually paid for by the colleges, and that's what we mean when we say an official visit. Mm-hmm. I'll also mention the agent representation for high school students. This begins July before their senior year in high school. So definitely we know that with your elite athletes, this is already happening. And so now we're just bringing it out of the shadows. The same thing in terms of agents being able to pay for expenses. So agents can now pay for meals and transportation for players and their families if it's related to the agent selection process. So again, this is already happening, but we're bringing it out of the shadows.
And we were kind of talking around the studio earlier today about like just the extent to which bringing it out of the shadows is going to make things at least hopefully a little bit better, not so much cutting the influence of big money in college sports or college basketball in this case, but at least bringing out into the open the practices that we all know are going on anyway, so that rather than just all being conducted under the table and illicitly and oftentimes corruptly, it's out in the open, there's sunlight on it, and it could be regulated.
And that's right. In fact, it makes me wonder whether or not this one provision where they say family members of a high school recruit or a college athlete or those who act solely on behalf of a professional sports team, they aren't required to be certified, whereas you're all the other persons who are official, they have to be certified by an NCAA program. And so I think it might be just an acknowledgement of what the NCAA can't police or enforce when you've got family members, and that might be your second or third cousin removed who now is operating for a professional sports team. There's nothing that the NCAA wants to do or wants to touch in that regard. I'm also interested in this NBA Undergraduate Advisory Committee. They're the ones who are going to help college athletes who are interested in going pro, help them to decide whether or not it makes sense. So who is going to be on this committee? Certainly there are certain programs, really, really prominent programs that are feeders to the NBA. There might be some type of bias there as, yes, we think it's important for you to come out now. It's going to help the NBA in terms of its marketing, its tickets, its success. And then, of course, there'll be those who say you need to stay and continue to develop, not only as a basketball player, but also marketing. The NBA benefits when you have top athletes come from prominent programs like a UNC or a Duke, who go into the league with their own established fan base and marketing arm. It makes their job easier, and it's more helpful for these franchises, especially who haven't performed well, and now they're going to get this really, really prominent superstar come to their franchise. That's a big help.
Speaking again with Dr. Debbie Stroman, talking about these new NCAA rules, and the rules were just announced today. They're going to go into effect over a period of time, and it's going to be a while before we know what the full effect of them is. And usually, you know, every time a rule or a new set of rules or regulations is kind of implemented, it's always to address a particular issue or concern, and it probably does that, but then other unintended consequences pop up. And if you're trying to cut the influence of big money always finds some loophole or way around and gets back in some other way, shape, or form. So how long is it going to take, do you think, before we really fully know what the effect of these rules is going to be on college basketball in the long term?
Well, if you go to the NCAA site where they list them, you can see when it's in effect. So, for example, the rule around student athletes making more frequent campus visits, that goes into effect in just a week or two, in August 15th. Whereas the example, the rule where the agent representation, you can start doing that after any basketball season. That change is going into effect immediately. Mm-hmm. Also, agent agreements, that's gone into effect immediately. So I encourage people to go to the official NCAA site and get more details on that. One thing that I do applaud with an asterisk is that the NCAA is now recognizing the importance of helping out these young people who've tried their best to be good role models and to play their sport and to go to class, but they weren't able to finish their degree. So now, officially, Division I schools will be required to pay for tuition fees and books for basketball players. Now, there are quite a few restrictions or stipulations that I found might be a bit more rigid than some schools who are already doing this. But one in particular is that you need to make up your mind about academics within 10 years, because this will not apply after 10 years. So you're really on the clock. And I'm hopeful, you know, schools will, certain schools will continue and say it doesn't matter whether it's 10 years or 15 or 20 years, we're still going to assist you. And then the last thing I just want to mention is, you know, college coaches, again, they have a lot of power, they have a lot of clout, and they are driving quite a bit of this. As they speak to their academic administrators and presidents. But coaches have been complaining that their recruiting strategy is much more difficult when you don't know if the athlete is coming or going to the pros. And so this NBA draft flexibility, I really encourage our listening audience who is interested in what's happening with the state of college basketball to really take a look at this one closely. I believe that coaches are encouraging this what the NCAA is saying, flexibility, but I think it could actually be another example of the coaches saying that if you make the athlete decide sooner, that's better for us, because now we know which holes need to be filled and which athletes we really need to go after. But it's a big day, definitely, for college basketball.
Again, you can get all of the new rules on the NCAA's website. Dr. Deb Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you.